Welcome to Earth's Mightiest Weirdos. We have done this very recently, at least three of the four of us. Kara was in the comments last night. She wasn't able to join us to talk about Thor, Love, and Thunder. But we are back. Kevin in the top right corner. Kevin, how are you doing this evening?
Doing good, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Pleasure to have you. We were off for the 4th of July last week, so we will be covering two episodes of Ms. Marvel, which was a news to the person in the bottom left corner. She was ready to talk episode 5. She's also ready to talk episode 4. Kara, how are you today?
Good. Good to be here representing the ladies today.
It is great to have you. Sarah was going to join us. She still might eventually, but power outages are causing issues there. So, Sarah, we're thinking about you. If you need anything, you know where to find us. And in the bottom right corner from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, it has been... You skipped opening night for Thor. We didn't discuss this on the show last night. You skipped opening night of Thor because you just had to do some podcast prep for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this upcoming week, correct? You're also on mute.
Yikes. Sorry about that. yeah, so I had plans to go with Kevin up there in the top right for about a month. We got tickets at 8:50 a.m. the day they dropped, and then... About a week out, I realized the NHL draft was on Thursday, and, you know, having a sports podcast and being a huge hockey fan, I needed to watch that live, and it wound up being a wild one, the most wild one in 10 plus years, so I stand by my decision. I have no regrets, and all the haters can peace out.
My brother-in-law was there and got a picture with Marty Broder, if that adds anything.
That's awesome. That Anthony will love that because Anthony is a huge Marty Brodeur fan.
There you go, so. Anthony.
You said we could peace out, but maybe you could just peace out. It's been Ryan on the Earth's Mightiest Weirdos. No, just kidding. Ryan, I'm glad because there's very few people in this world that understand your passion for sports. I am one of them. Hockey isn't my number one, but I totally get it, man. So you do you. I get it. All right.
Yeah, but well, we're here.
We have somebody else who was not able to join us last night, but he's here now, and it is the world according to Jax. Hello, Jackson.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. So how about you tell us first, without any spoilers, because we don't want to talk spoilers. We'll give a spoiler warning just in case. Jax, what did you make of Thor Love and Thunder? Did you like it?
Yes.
What was your favorite character? Korg. Yeah, Korg is usually the answer for you.
Let's go.
We all like Korg here. Kara's a Korg fan. We lost Kevin, and I don't know why. So we will get Kevin back here in just a minute. He did not like Korg, apparently. And then, Jax, we are talking about Ms. Marvel tonight, episodes 4 and episode 5. You claim to have never seen either one until this afternoon. You have now seen both. What did you make of those episodes of Ms. Marvel? Did you like them?
Yes.
You did. What do you like about Ms. Marvel so far?
I like all of the action, and in the last, I think, 3 episodes, there's been a lot more action.
There's been a lot of action, right? Yeah. So are you good with she's got a bracelet that kind of unlocks her powers?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. And then who's your favorite character in the show? You like Bruno, right? Because Bruno's super smart and he's got a bunch of technology. Okay, so last question. Do you think that Kamran is a good guy or a bad guy now?
I think he turned good.
You think he turned good? Okay, so you don't think he was always a good guy?
I don't think
so. All right. Are you excited to watch the finale of Ms. Marvel this week?
Yes.
Okay. And Ms. Marvel, is it your favorite show on Disney Plus from Marvel? What's your favorite?
I'm not sure.
WandaVision. Good answer, buddy. All right. Thank you, Jax. All right. And that is the world according to Jax. All right. Well, let's get into talking about Ms. Marvel. I will just leave this off to the side. This was a bad decision. I'm so sorry. Okay. So we, not a ton in the world of Marvel news. We do know we have She-Hulk Attorney at Law coming out in about 5 weeks from this coming Wednesday. Kara, I would love to hear if you're excited about She-Hulk. I'm not sure where you stand on this show.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I really like Tatiana Maslany. And so from the very little I know of her from Parks and Recreation. and it looks good. And
Doctors Without Borders, Doctor. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I like Bruce. So I'm glad we get a little bit more of him. So I'm excited.
There's a lot of stuff that's breaking. If you are not tuning into Earth's Mightiest Minute on the Earth's Mightiest Weirdos Instagram or YouTube or TikTok, Kevin does those for us. Kevin broke some official news there last week to most people. Hollywood Reporter is reporting that Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio will be reprising their roles as Daredevil and Kingpin, respectively. Kevin, you're very excited about this. Why?
I just love the fact that we're getting these Netflix characters back in meaningful ways, that they're actually being integrated into the MCU, unlike when they were in their Netflix series and they were just kind of like there in their pocket. And they said they were in the MCU. Marvel Studios didn't really like acknowledge them, you know, and we already have the report that a Daredevil series is being, we're getting another series. If it's a new series proper, or they're going to call it a season 4, who knows what terminology, how they're actually going to do it. But the fact that we're getting two actors that everybody really loved, they're in the caliber of actors and characters that people say, like, nobody else should play these roles, you know, like up there with the Tony Starks and Robert Downey Jr., Hugh Jackman and Wolverine. Like, people are like, Charlie Cox is Daredevil, Wilson Fisk is Kingpin, you know? So having the fact that they're still sticking around and seeing where it ended at Hawkeye for the Echo series, like following some of the comic storylines, like it was expected they would return. So the fact that we're going to see them before a potential appearance again in whatever this Daredevil series is a welcome addition. And hopefully they'll be in it for at least a couple episodes to have a little mini arc, or even if it's just one episode and it's just kind of focused on them, kind of like a Mandalorian episode in Book of Boba Fett, that'd be something like that. That'd be really cool.
Hashtag not my Daredevil, not my Kingpin, Ben Affleck and Michael Clark Duncan till I die. Not really. Ryan, speaking of shows that are part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe that Marvel Studios does not recognize as part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., excuse me. It is having a comeback on Disney Plus. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there are a lot of rumors around, and we're sticking in this Marvel rumor mill just a little bit. We are not speculating or ruining anything. But Ryan, I've been wanting to ask you multiple times, what will you do if Chloe Bennett pops up as Quake Daisy Johnson in Marvel Secret Invasion that should be coming later this year?
I legitimately do not know, because I finally stopped letting myself believe that it's going to happen, so I will not be disappointed. And now as Hawkeye said, don't give me hope, because now I have the hope that it's going to happen. I'm going to be so sad if it doesn't, but if it does, I'm going to be unbearable. You aren't going to want to talk to me, because I'm going to be so happy and so I told you so that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is canon, that nobody's going to want to deal with me. So
I don't want to talk to you. So that works out.
I can predict it. Whenever it does happen, I will hear Ryan scream from my apartment from across the city. I will hear him screaming at the top of his lungs that it happened.
I mean, Brian may hear me down in Florida. Kara may hear me in Canada. So.
I do expect that we're not going to get so lucky that it won't get ruined somehow, some way. But like, I did get spoiled on a character reveal in the post-credit scene of Thor: Love and Thunder. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. And at that point, I didn't care. I just didn't want it to be a lie. So the fact that it was not a lie made me all happy. So that worked out well. Ryan, I wish the best for you. But hopefully Secret Invasion comes out before the rest of this year. We do have Comic-Con Hall H next week. Kevin Feige is going to be there. We're going to get a lot more lay of the land. So next week on Earth's Mightiest Weirdos, July 18th, we'll be talking about the finale of Ms. Marvel. And then the following week, we know we're going to have Alex, Mike, and Mark from Babu's Frickin' Podcast, and as well many others probably, to discuss what happened at Comic-Con and kind of the state of the MCU. Mark over at Babu's Frickin' Podcast is a little bit more, shall we say, negative about the current state of the MCU. So we're going to have a nice discussion around that and see what Kevin Feige tells us at Hall H at Comic-Con. Well, let's get into talking about Ms. Marvel. We are talking about two episodes, as you can see in our poster here. We're going to talk about episode number 4, Seeing Red, and episode number 5, Time and Again. So we're going to start with Kara down in the right or bottom left corner. Kara, this is your first time coming on discussing Ms. Marvel. Is that right, or do I have that wrong?
I don't actually know. I think it might be.
I think it is.
You were on with me for episode 1, I think.
Just kidding. This is my second time. There
you go. Kara, you were very much in on Ms. Marvel in episode 1. Ryan's correct. I do remember this now. Are you still all the way in on this show?
Yes. I love this show. I love education, and this show is serving us education on a whole bunch of different platters, and I love it.
Kevin, same for you?
Yeah, I love this show. It's definitely creeping up to be my favorite, or close to becoming the top favorite Disney Plus series. It's definitely up there. Like, every week I'm like what Kara said, like the fact, which we're going to get into, like talking about the partition aspect of everything, which is, I think all of us can say either we had very little knowledge or absolutely no knowledge of this mm-hmm. growing up in school, and like just like learning this and just seeing the things that these generations and these culture of people like went through. It's just like, it's definitely to say that you learned about it through a Marvel show or movie. Like, a lot of people could be like, oh, like why? Like, I don't care. Like, this is giving me, I'm curious now. So I'm trying to learn more of like what actually is happening and everything. So, but outside of that, just Iman Vellani is great. The rest of the cast is great. So yeah, I'm loving the series.
I love her too. She's been great. Kevin, you just went to Disneyland not that long ago. Did you ride the Indiana Jones ride when you were out there?
Yes.
So when you got into that queue line with the black and white video and that high-pitched voice, did the beginning of episode 5 really remind you of that part of the queue line when they're talking about the Temple of Doom in Indiana Jones? Because that's all I can think of when it
happened. That was the first ride we did that day when we got there. So we like blitzed through the whole thing. So like we didn't really stand there. Like we just like were like just going through the whole thing. So it was just like queue. And then we like finally got there. So, I think based on the credits, there was a credited like news person. So I thought it was like an actual reel that they like found, like archive or whatever. But I think they just had somebody do the, I'm the British like radio talker. And like, here we are. And everything
from the 40s.
Yeah. From the 40s. So, yeah.
So I'm going to be honest, Ryan, we'll get to your opinion here in just a minute. Marvel Studios has gotten criticism in the past for previous shows that they move through the pacing of the final episode too quickly, that things wrap up too quickly. I actually expect them to stick the landing better in this episode, because I think the back half of episode 5 really struggled from a pacing standpoint. Once they got back to modern day and got back from the partition stuff, it moved way too quickly for me, and I don't understand what they were doing by wrapping up that storyline so quickly when you have a whole nother episode to go. So either with Kamran, we're going to wrap it up in one episode, or he's going to be the villain in season 2. I don't know why they did what they did. So we'll talk about that here in just a minute. That's my only complaint with this show. I am comfortably putting it as my number 3 on Disney Plus. WandaVision will never, ever be touched. And right now, Loki season 1 is still my number 2. If this show sticks the landing, it could supplant number 2, but it has already surpassed Hawkeye for me, which is pretty impressive, all things considered. Ryan, where does this show stand for you?
Yeah, I'm really, loving this show a lot. It is firmly planted at number 2 right now. I would say that episode 6 has to be damn near perfect to overtake WandaVision, but it's close. I mean, it's closer than I would have thought when we came in. I'm really loving all the cultural aspects, all the, like you said, education. And Iman Vellani is Miss Marvel. She's perfect for the role. There is nobody better they could have cast, in my opinion. She is Miss Marvel.
I agree. So let's get into talking about the episode. She is a very angsty, nervous teenager. Has anybody ever been in the middle of a conversation between, not necessarily a mother and a daughter, but has anybody ever been that awkward guy in the middle seat of an airplane while mother and daughter are arguing with each other? Because I felt so bad for that, dude. Kara, you got to have a story behind this.
Not anything in specific. That's happened to me multiple times.
Oh, awful.
I usually just insert myself into the conversation. So if they're going to do that and put me in the middle, like, come on.
Nothing surprising.
You're going to get involved.
It does not show.
He's just trying to be nice too. Like, oh, you got like a little stuffed animal there. Like, it's very nice. And yeah, that poor dude.
I will say in that scene though, I was reading some of the reviews for the episode, and I obviously wouldn't know this, but somebody, I think the writer of the review, I think was South Asian or had South Asian heritage, and was like, they thought it was hilarious how when they're like, we're now descending, like they have, they're like still in the air and everybody's getting up to get all the luggage out and everything. They were like, they thought that was a nice touch. And I thought that was funny, but the fact that somebody related to that and they were like, oh, this is so real that like, this is what South Asian families or whatever, like in the middle of the air, you're not even down yet, they're already up and out trying to get their luggage out of the overhead compartments.
That went way over my head because I assumed people were standing up because like there was about to be a battle on an airplane. Like I was like, why did they do that?
But yeah, I think they're just ready to go. They're ready to get their luggage to get on out of that airplane as soon as they can.
They didn't portray all those idiots that clap when the plane land.
Oh my god, that's the freaking worst. I will die on that hill, but those are the worst people in the world.
If you are in our audience and you clap when the plane lands, one, we're sorry, but two, please stop.
Correct.
All right, let's move right along. I don't get where they're going with the character of Nakia. Does she seem betrayed that Kamala didn't tell her? She obviously isn't a huge fan of who she refers to as Nightlight at the time. But I still don't understand why we have removed her from the story, because in my opinion, she's the second best character in the show so far. Does anybody know what they're going for with Nakia here? Kara, where do you expect we go with that character? She has to pop up next week.
Yeah, I assume she's coming back next week. And to be honest, I'm a little disappointed in the fact that she's not replying to Kamala. Just because they've showed her to be such a good friend all the way up till now. And I just don't think that that's an appropriate friendship response to just ghost somebody after you learn a piece of information about them. It's not like she's been hiding this from her whole life. She just found out. So I'm hoping that she has a good reason. Maybe she's kidnapped or hurt something.
Dark. Anybody else? Like, she cannot be a villain whatsoever. And I'm not saying that, but I don't know why you remove her from the storyline, but yet keep the storyline focused on why Kamala is reaching out to her. Kevin, Ryan, do you guys have any theories here?
I mean, I just thought that, like, obviously these past two episodes were the ones where we're going to Karachi. So obviously we see the text messages. And so I think it was just like narratively is like, it's trying to build like the space between them, like to give her. So, but like beyond just seeing the visual representations of the text of knowing that she would have responded to Kamala to know, like, to say, okay, like I understand, or we'll talk when you get back or whatever. Like she didn't really have a purpose in these last two episodes. So I can understand why we just like show that Kamala has been trying to reach out. She isn't responding. And like, this week, I'm assuming we'll get like they'll meet up and they'll have their talk, and hopefully things will be fine and we'll move forward from there. You know,
we do have a comment that says he's done with the goats and he left us. Sorry, Chris, if I offended you with the goats, it makes me laugh. I apologize. Ryan, moving on from there.
Oh, can I just add one thing super
quick?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My theory on that is possibly she got taken in by damage control because they figured out that she knew who Nightlight was.
That's what I meant by kidnapped.
Oh.
Okay. I feel like though if she did, we would have had in one of the few scenes, or at least the scene when we saw them breaking the clandestine breaking out, like we would have seen her getting I feel like we would have seen that scene if she is with damage control. I think that's it's possible, but I just
maybe that's how we open up this week.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Let's we can move on. Sorry.
What's his name from Spider-Man? The guy from Succession. Does anybody have a story in this group of being underdressed like Kamala was with the jeans? Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah. So I am still mortified about this to this day. My brother had soccer practice. I did not know there was any plans post soccer practice. So I was wearing a neon green dry fit shirt and a pair of basketball shorts. And I picked my brother up, or me and my mother picked my brother up from practice. And then my mother informs me we have a wake to go to now.
Oh, whoa. So
my brother is in a soccer uniform and I am in a neon green dry fit shirt and basketball shorts.
Who was the wake for?
I cannot remember at this time. Okay. But it was a friend of my mother's, I think. And it was the most embarrassing thing I've ever done. I literally think I went in, like said, hello to whoever it was, said I'm sorry, and hid in the bathroom the rest of the time.
I would have stayed in the car.
Rough.
Yeah,
that's I tried tough. To. That's I said, tough. I am not dressed for this, and I lost that battle.
No one's topping that. So we will move right along. We meet the Red Daggers. Kamala puts a mask on. She thinks that's going to hide her identity, and I suppose it will from people that have never, ever seen her before. I was laughing out loud at the dude with the Polaroid who gave the directions to the train station or just go left and then another left, but she found her way to the train station, so good for that guy. But we meet Kareem, who also has the nickname of Chemo, Waleed, and the Red Daggers. Kevin, do you have any comic knowledge of the Red Daggers and kind of who they are, what's going on here?
Yeah, so in the series, they've kind of built them into like this order of the Red Daggers. In the comics, it's only really been Kareem is just a singular person who goes by Red Dagger. And there is an issue in the comics where Kamala goes overseas. I think she goes to Pakistan and meets up with Red Dagger. And that's, I think, was like the big basis of the episode of like the theme and the storyline and whatever. So so it's a change from the comics, which I think is really cool. Like, make it like an ancient order that's been kind of passed down, kind of like in the Netflix series The Hand, and them, like the ninjas, of just like, it's just an ancient society that's just kind of been, except where the hand's more evil, and it sounds like they're pretty much like force for good and stuff, you know, and doing things from the shadows and whatnot. So it was nice to have Waleed there to be like the person who like has the information. He's the guy who's telling Kamala more about her and her powers and everything. So
Captain Exposition.
Yeah, kind of, more or less. And so it was good to have him. And he was like, he's a famous Bollywood actor. And so he had like a really nice warm presence on the screen, and it wasn't anybody that I felt like going in was like, oh, he's going to like turn on her or like use like switch or whatever. Like instantly I was like, oh, he's a good guy. We're going to trust him, like him and everything. But yeah, overall it's the order of the Red Daggers is new for the series. It's not anything that has existed in the comics, despite the name and Kareem coming from the comics.
That was kind of my question for Carrick. Did you find it interesting that Kamala was fairly trusting right away, considering what she had just gone through with the clandestines? Is it just because that Kareem was simply saying, oh, you're not a clandestine, so therefore she knew to trust him? I think it was interesting that she would jump right back into trusting a whole nother adult.
Did you miss their chemistry on the train station platform? Like, if you have that much chemistry with somebody, you will trust them. You will
go. I guess I did miss the chemistry. I don't know. I don't see it. But
maybe this is a girl thing. I don't know. But like, if you are traveling somewhere internationally and you hit it off.
Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever gone in through a kitchen into a secret room?
No.
Okay.
I did get on the back of a scooter and go to a beach, though.
I'm not going to lie. When he pulled the whole come with me if you want to live, like, I hated that so much. And I understand it was supposed to be dumb, but I hated it so much. Ryan, what make you of Waleed and the Red Daggers?
I liked them. I thought that, I mean, I did also see the chemistry between Kimi and Kamala. Rude. and I thought they were good. I really like Waleed. I think he's like super wise and super knowledgeable about all this information, and gives it to Kamala in a way that's manageable, not kind of just like a hit you in the head with a ton of bricks type way. And I think he's a good teacher for both of them. And I really enjoyed both their acting in this episode and then the next episode as well.
Yeah, Waleed only made it the one episode. So that was a bit of a bummer. We get the call out of what you seek is seeking you, which obviously is going to play a massive role in the next episode. But I'm going to throw this out there to the rest of the group. What are the intentions of the clandestines? Does anybody able to answer that question well?
Yes.
Go ahead, Kevin.
So
to go back home isn't good enough for me.
So they're stuck in this dimension. I don't know how they came over to this dimension.
Right.
But yes, they want to return to the Nor dimension, the light dimension. So they're trying to open up the rift between the dimensions with the bangle. And in opening up the rift, I think they're hoping to pass through to get home. And then, as Waleed explained, by opening the rift, it's then going to allow that dimension to come through. So I think it's a mixture of either going home or allowing the Nor dimension to more or less supplant our dimension with whatever that little diagram of.
So that's my question. Are they trying to bring the Nor dimension to them, or are they just simply trying to go back to the Nor dimension and it's going to take over? Because the way Waleed explained it is they wanted the Nor dimension to take over, but the way I understand it is they just don't want to be here anymore.
So yeah, I think it's a mixture.
Semantics, I suppose. But
yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of they want to go home or and just not be here, but if that also means that the dimension comes through, then like so be it, I think, after they've been here for so long. But at this point, it feels, as we'll get to a little bit later, it feels like their storyline's kind of wrapped up. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I still haven't quite figured it out. The way Waleed explained it was not the way it had been explained in the previous three episodes, at least the way I understood it. But
well, that was the point, right? Because he was saying that what you were told is not actually what is, right?
Yep.
Yeah, but she already knew not to trust them. So I guess I don't know. Like, do you think the clandestines were actually trying to let it take over?
It's possible. I mean, like what Ryan said, like if they were just trying to tell Kamala, oh, we're just trying to get home, but in actuality, we need your bangle to open the rift so that we can let the dimension come through, then what Waleed said is probably correct.
But then afterwards, like in the next episode, they say we can go home, and then that seems to be like their main motivation for moving towards the Veil.
Yeah, and I still don't understand why they turned to complete dust. Like, we're going to talk about that, because there's a lot I felt that wasn't really explained well in the back half of the fifth episode. But Kevin, or not Kevin, excuse me, Kara, you talk about, I do remember you very much being on the first episode now. You talked about the family dynamic and everything that you liked there. We got a really good scene between Nani and Kamala's mom of having the box of toffees and everything around. Do you think that Kamala's mom ever believed in the bangle once in her life? Or because she clearly thought her mother was just crazy, wanted to get away from her crazy mother. Do you think she was ever a believer?
I think that she had some idea just based on how she reacted when Kamala opened the bangle to begin with. Mm-hmm. So like that, based on that reaction, I think she had something. Because I don't know. I think if she thought it was complete nonsense, she wouldn't have been so like quick to get away.
Except for like if your mom thinks that this bracelet has crazy powers and you don't believe it and then it shows up, like you could just be like, I'm not even going to explain it. It's not worth your time. Like whatever. Because if she actually thought it had powers, I feel like she would have done more than hide it in the attic. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if she ever was a believer, which is really cool. All the more reason when she sees that. I'm glad we're not keeping that Kamala is Miss Marvel away from her parents. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, her dad doesn't know yet that we know of. But I'm glad we're not keeping that away. But we get an epic chase scene. Ryan, I want to come to you on this. It's a pretty long chase scene. Was there anything in it that you really like? My personal favorite was when when she tells him to go faster and it shows how little the bike is, but then the bike comes detached from the trailer and he rides on one wheel for a while. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. an awesome fight scene. I think that when Waleed throws the daggers and then goes catch them American Ninja Warrior style and then like flips himself onto that balcony. But that was an awesome part. And the garbage truck just kind of exploding, getting like flipped over, like Need for Speed style. Both of those are pretty awesome.
The way she protects that family with her powers, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I was gonna say the chase kind of reminded me of the Soul chase in Age of Ultron with Nat on the bike. Because I'm pretty sure some sort of truck or something did like a similar like flip.
Yeah,
I think it's Lagos in Civil War. That's what I was thinking of, where the truck kind of flips over.
Yeah, and that one, the garbage truck flips like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, off on the side, I thought, yeah, there was one in Age of Ultron when she's like running from the Ultrons or whatever. But I like the chase. I thought it was a fun way to just like move around and just see different. You see a packed street and marketplace, and you're just on a different vehicle than like a normal bike and everything. So that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun chase scene, and you saw a lot of the budget for the show go into that scene. I think there was a lot of really good stunt work and a lot of good camera work that was part of that, and it just kept going, which is kind of what was my biggest surprise. Kamala does her best Wonder Woman impression to block the knife coming with her bracelet, and it sends her all the way back in time. I did not expect this. I did not expect any sort of time travel. And we're going to talk about, is Back to the Future a bunch of bullcrap or not? Because she's able to affect basically Harry Potter style, where she can go back in time and constantly affect the future. But we're going to talk more about that here in just a minute. But any last minute thoughts on episode 4 before we move on to talking about the one Kara's really prepared for and excited to talk about? All right, Kara, we knew that the Nerdy Girls After Dark would be all in on the love story of Aisha and Hassan, definitely better than Twilight. Kara, I would just like to give you a minute or two to be able to talk about what you loved about this relationship.
So much, yes, without ever having talked to Brian about this before, he already knows how I feel. Their relationship is so...
He's a good looking dude and she's a good looking woman.
They are very attractive, but they also are very intelligent and they help each other out, and they seem to have different strengths than the other person, and therefore they can kind of balance each other but also encourage and push each other. I love the whole sassy start to their relationship when he would just laughed immediately when she said she was going to break his leg, and his response was so genuine. Like, the way that they played these characters was so genuine, and it seems very real, and so I like it very much.
Kevin, anything on that power couple?
I enjoyed it. Like you said, they were both very good looking people.
Episode, I want to make that clear. The first half of this episode, I'm all in on.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was it definitely fit. I think a friend of the program, Alex, had called, you know, another time travel or flashback centric episode in the fifth episode of these Disney Plus series. So it was definitely good to see. And yeah, I enjoyed their relationship. I thought it was really great.
Ryan, you got anything there?
Just echoing everything they said. I just think it's they have a good dynamic. I mean, when one of them is like heated, the other one is calm and able to diffuse the situation, and vice versa. Like, it all depends. They're just a good match for each other.
When he snaps on the guy that delivers the fruit or whatever, that was pretty eye opening. It was the one flaw we saw of him. Alex says that he loved the relationship as well. Does anybody feel like they can give a quick historical recap of Partition and what was going on here? I think the show did a decent job at it, but I still am not willing to throw my hat in the ring there. Kara, you're kind of nodding. Do you feel like you can cover that for us a little bit?
So this was, unfortunately, my first exposure to the Partition. And so I'm still working my way through educating myself on the rest of it. But I think for me, so essentially it was the divide between Pakistan and India based on religion, I guess, if they were Hindu or Muslim. I think for me, what the show does such a good job of, and the reason why I think so many of us are like, oh, okay, we should probably go get educated here, is the way that they show how that affected people, like through generational trauma, how it affected people, like in identity wise, like when Nanny's talking about not knowing where she belongs, if she belongs to India or Pakistan, and where her identity is. So I think they did a really good job with kind of showing not just the historical pieces, but then also the emotional and the generational pieces that followed.
I used to work for somebody who was from Pakistan, and I wish I still worked for him at this time. I would love to have discussed more of just this show. I would imagine, I mean, he didn't completely stay away from everything Marvel, but like, he wasn't like a Marvel fan, but I would imagine that he's watched this show. Kevin, if anybody knows, I feel like you probably would. I know they're going to show this series in theaters in Pakistan because Disney Plus is not available there. Has that happened yet? Do you know?
Yeah, so they were breaking it down into three screenings of episodes 1 and 2, okay, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and so it happened. I think the first screening happened the Friday or started the Friday after episode 2 dropped, so people were like pretty much on the same level.
So it's probably this level. Friday for part 3 then.
Yeah, so the final one might be this Friday or next week, but I think it's this week we'll have the final part, so we'll have 5 and 6, which to me, they said they were going to like re-edit it to like fit for a theatrical experience, but it was a weird breakdown. Like, I feel like 4 and 5 probably would have been a better like pairing, you know, together, not 5 and 6. So it's
Except for you leave them on a cliffhanger for episode 4 and get them to come back for part 3.
That is true. Yeah. But just the fact that 4 and 5 were the out in Karachi episodes, you know, those fit like a nice, well, and also based on who directed, like 2 and 3 were directed by the same, 4 and 5 were the same director. And then 1 and 6 were the same directors, you know? So, but yeah, that's, it is going out in Pakistan, which is great. They announced that before the series premiered, that so those everyone in that country can experience it and enjoy it, which is great.
I read just a couple of reviews ahead of time from really critics that had a kind of an advanced screening of it, and I believe it's going to be really well received in Pakistan from everything that I was reading from these Pakistani writers. So I think that's pretty neat. But Kara, thank you so much for filling in those gaps for people that may not have fully understood Partition and what happened. Obviously, Kara's focus on education and the way that this show has presented it, there is a lot that we don't know, and we encourage you to become more educated on the subject as well. But Ryan, we'll jump to you. Aisha and the clandestines. Aisha was clearly trying to separate herself from the clandestines for a long time. We even saw that in the 3rd episode when we discovered the bangle in the first place. Like, Aisha was really just wanting to kind of get away from everything, not find the second bangle, all that kind of stuff. But what about the character of Aisha, Ryan, did you find interesting as it related to maybe finding love in this world, finding a family, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I think when she was running away from the other clandestines, she just kind of felt alone, and she didn't think that she would be able to. She was kind of seen as an outcast until she met the man who would become her husband, and then she finally found somebody that she could trust. But then she got comfortable with that, and Aisha came back.
Najma.
Sorry,
her eyes freaked me out.
Yeah, and she came and found her, and then she kind of started to feel like everything was crumbling, because, you know, it's something about trauma. Like, she was traumatized by her past experiences, that you see that person one more time, you see that object one more time, and, you know, you could be flooded with the memories of all the terrible things. So I think it took a lot for her to trust, and it kind of all crumbled within a matter of days.
This is where I really, and I don't know, now that like all the clandestines are gone, like, are we going to get it explained to us as to what they did to be banished from the Noor dimension? Like, is there somebody evil on the other side? Because they clearly weren't all good people, but Aisha seemed like a pretty good person through and through. So I'm very curious if she lived and learned and got better, which there's a good story in that too, don't get me wrong, but it feels like Aisha was a good person and maybe just got caught up with the wrong group. I really don't know, and I do hope that we get that explained to us at some point. But she had built a life for herself. Again, we talked about them being a power couple. We met Sanaa as a very old woman, as Nani, adorable little girl, absolutely adorable. I thought they built a great love story amongst this crew within 20 minutes really, really well. And then Kamala shows up, and Aisha thinks Kamala is her daughter, which was really interesting. I think Aisha knows that she's not going to make it out alive. She sends her husband and her daughter ahead, and then they get split up. That is my worst nightmare, being a father of kids that don't always stay next to you, that in a crowded area like that, it's very, very scary. In the 4th episode, they told the story for the second time about the stars that led her back to her father. So you knew that we were going to see something like that when she got lost, even probably sooner than that, honestly. But it's just terrifying. But Aisha willing to sacrifice herself for her family, to go back on everything she'd been working on for decades, obviously means a ton. And then we get the "what you seek is seeking you." That's something that her father says all the time. It inscribes itself on the bangle. Was really powerful the way they tied that all together, because when it came out in the 4th episode, it honestly just didn't quite fit. So I'm glad that they were able to pay that off. But Kara, I'm going to go to you on this. Kamala is the one that saved Sana all along, mm-hmm. is at least the impression that I got every mm-hmm. single time. Like I in the third Harry Potter movie, like that Patronus was always Harry. It never was his father. So even though Harry believed it to be his father, it was Kamala all along, which maybe Scott Lang was onto something, that Back to the Future wasn't a bunch of bullcrap. But Kara, what did you make of this scene and Aisha and Kamala, and then Aisha and Sana?
Yeah, this was one of the most beautiful scenes I think Marvel has ever done, and definitely in the top tier. Just right from Aisha giving the bangle to Sana before they left, because she knew right then that she was going to sacrifice herself to save them. I think starting with that, then the fact that she actually saved them, the stars, like I was sobbing watching that scene. That was so beautiful. And the emotion that Kamala portrayed was beautiful. And then watching Hassan realize that the magic was Aisha and that she sacrificed herself for them, like the way that he portrayed that was beautiful. The whole scene, like 10 out of 10. I love it.
And Kamala learning something on her own. She's, I can't do stars. Like, she literally thinks she's changing the course of history by guiding her through this. And then it turns out to be the stars that she needed. Kevin, how about you with this scene?
Yeah, I love the scene. I thought it was very emotional. Kind of like Kara was saying, like everything about it was really great. The whole traveling back aspect of it, like the time travel part of it. I feel like we've seen like four different explanations of what time travel is in the MCU now, between Endgame, the TVA, other things. But for me, I feel like this was just like, would be like a closed loop. So like, it's not like she can go anywhere or whatever. It's like, whatever the power of the bangle is to get somebody from some point in time back to that point, you know, and then just bring them back to whenever it is. So I guess I don't know why it was only, I mean, obviously Kamala just got it recently, and then, but like if it was 10 years earlier, I guess it could have been the same thing, but whoever used it and whatever activated that function of it would just get them back to that point in time, like there, you know, I guess. So yeah, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, It is what it is. After all, it's all fake, and I completely yep. understand that. But it is interesting that they can affect that timeline. Pretty interesting. Ryan, how about you?
I'm under the impression that what Kevin said is right, that it's a closed loop. The bangle basically is made so that it only goes back to the moment that Sana needs saving. And then once that job is complete, it's not really time travel. It's almost like looking back on a moment, but being able to affect it rather than traveling back to that time. Like, yes, she was there, but she wasn't able. It was a short time frame that she was allowed to stay there. I guess it's almost more like the test they did in Endgame, where you go for a certain amount of time and you come back, like with Clint. And you can only go to that moment.
And I guess it was more or less fulfilling the inscription of what you seek is seeking you. So sure. once Aisha put it on the bangle, in the attempts, I think, for Sana to get to Hassan, once that was fulfilled, like, you know, but
yes.
The fact that Kamala had to come back for, or that a future somebody had to come back for it. But I think what Ryan was saying is like, that's kind of how I'm thinking as well.
If you had given me two options, either A, stick with all the time travel stuff from Endgame and you need to travel through the quantum realm, or B, do what they did, I would choose option B, because I think what they did was very powerful. And again, it's a closed loop. It's not going to be a driving force other than developing the character of Ms. Marvel. So I'm completely good with it. It just, this is where the multiverse and everything gets a little bit funny when we try to time hop. But again, it's a closed loop. I'm simply looking at it as a time turner from Harry Potter, and we're just going to leave it at that. And call it good. But I agree with Kara, very powerful scene. Then we come back to the modern day, and this is where I'm not as positive on the episode. I think everything happens really quickly. I guess with the time travel, is that what opened the Noor dimension? Does anybody understand why the people in the Nord dimension, even though they're from there, can't get back through and get turned to dust, because I don't get it.
Well, I think that the reason it opened was because of the collision with the sword that Namja had. Like, it basically broke with almost bangle, like the light time continuum, so to speak. Like,
I'm good with that.
But I don't know exactly why. I know there's been some theories that, you know, I still don't. The one thing I'm still confused on is Walid and her grandmother said, "You're not a djinn." Like, we never got an answer as to what exactly she was, right?
Well, and I mean, she's from the Nord dimension.
She's like, from.
This is what I was going to say, is that what I've seen, and that it's possible people have been likening the what's happened to them as like Terragenesis, yes, with the Inhumans, but that doesn't answer your question, Brian, as to why, if they're from that dimension, why they can't go back through, or why that happened to them, you know. But in any sense, people are speculating it could be a reworking avenue of Terragenesis and Inhumans from this dimension or something like that. So that's kind of, I think, where Ryan was leading. But like you said, that doesn't answer if they're from there, why they disintegrated.
Yeah. Hmm. And that was my point, is I think it's Terragenesis, because if you look at the examples of Terragenesis, and again, not to say that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is canon, but if you look at how it happened in that, as one of our live action examples of that, they turned almost into a cocoon, rock cocoon type thing. And then if they were an inhuman, they would, you know, break out. If they weren't, they would just crack and disintegrate. So it kind of was very similar to that.
Did anybody mention a rock guy?
You don't need to be afraid unless you're made of scissors. Just a little rock, paper, scissor joke for you.
I did enjoy Walid saying that if Thor had landed on Everest, he would also been called a djinn. I thought that was funny. Like, that's how they were able to flippantly describe why some were referred to as djinn and another where you really aren't a djinn. I'm curious. He clearly has more of an understanding. I thought him using that other map to show how the dimension lives within our dimension helped a lot of people. Again, we tried to describe it in the Alex Klein way of saying hallways and rooms, and then if you go to a different floor of a hotel, that's where you're on a different timeline. It's gonna get confusing. And that's why I'm a little bit like, I don't know if we'll ever journey into the Nord dimension. I think we're only going to channel the Nord dimension through Miss Marvel. I don't know if we're ever going to go all the way there. Kara, do you have a theory why everybody's disintegrating?
Yeah, and it's very childish.
Dark.
I have zero, like, for new listeners or people who are not familiar with me, I have zero comic knowledge. And so everything that I experience is for the first time in the MCU. And so my first thought was that they weren't worthy, you know, kind of like the hammer that you have to be, like Thor's hammer, that you have to be worthy in order to wield it. That explains. But then that could explain, like, if they all came to Earth with the same kind of vibe as Aisha did, and then the rest of them kind of turned and for the worst, maybe Aisha could have gone through and they couldn't. I don't know.
See, but the way they explain is they were banished, so I wouldn't assume there was righteous intent when they came through.
I wonder if they physically needed the bangle. Like, the bangle had to help open it, but I wonder if, like, they physically had to have the bangle on them to go through. But that would only help one person, not a group. Or somebody had to, like, use the bangle to, like, encompass them to go through or something. I'm not sure.
She did hit it with her bangle powers, though. Well, although I guess those are her powers, not the bangle's powers.
Yeah, so my thought on that is that, like,
I am trying so hard not to make a Joe Burrow Cincinnati Bengals reference. Go ahead, Ryan.
Crap. Where was I going with that? If I lost it again, give me a second. It'll come back to me. Continue talking.
Jamar Chase was a very fast Bengal. He could have gotten through that veil.
Oh, help. Maybe. I think that what I was saying is that maybe you don't need to have the Bengal on to go through. But because the bang, this is where I was going, because the bangle was broken, the proper way to open the veil was not by the bangle being smashed. That opened up some like jank version of the veil that caused them to not be able to get through. But there is a proper way to do it with like some other, if you have both bangles or something like that.
Is the bangle broken?
No, he was just saying like the way that the spear hit the bangle.
Yeah.
Like it like sparked like a adverse reaction. Okay. Or something.
It didn't break the bangle.
No.
Yeah.
That's okay. A good theory.
Like a monolith type thing. Like.
Oh, here we go again.
Just saying.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Speaking of another thing that the show was moving too quick to explain, what happened with Najma and Kamran? Like, did she simply pass on her evil powers? It looks like she, to an extent, had a change of heart. And then I think it was just she had a light bulb moment of, I can stay here and continue to fight this dirty fight through my son because I left him behind. But what did she pass to him? And he clearly doesn't want it, but he's got it now. Kara, you were nodding. Do you have any understanding what happened here?
Not a clue. And I thought it was interesting that he thought that she was coming back at the end.
Well,
like, given that he's received these powers, like, he would have to assume they were from his mom. No,
well, I don't think he knew about the powers by the
I don't think he knew he like took it in. I just think he thinks, even though she left him behind, I think he still is holding out hope that,
but when he got it, he looked at his hand and his hand was glowing.
Well, I think just the slight order of events 10 minutes
longer and they had explained all these things.
So I think he said to Bruno, oh, I have to stay here. My mom's coming back. And then that's when the damage control, and then his hand started glowing. So I think it's just the slight order of events is what makes it.
No. When he got hit with the powers in the cave or whatever, he looked at his hand and his hand was glowing.
Okay. Interesting. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't, it's like definitely like her essence, but it's not like, I don't think she's like in there. Like, I don't think next episode we're gonna like just see him like be him and then like a switch go and then it's like Najma like talking through him. Like, I don't think it's any sort of that possession or anything like that. But
I think he's gonna be infected with some sort of like dark powers or something, though.
Yeah,
like,
I mean
he's gonna have his mind altered.
Yeah, I mean in the comics, spoilers for the comics and potentially what could be happening. I mean, he's a villain in human. So he meets Kamala and like the same thing, like he's friendly with her and then he tries to recruit her to like more of a dark and humans team essentially. So he is more villainous. So this is slightly in line with the character, but yeah, like what they're doing in the series, like I just saw Najma like pass something on to him and now he has powers. So what does that mean? Does it mean he's going to turn evil? Does it mean he's good and he's going to just have powers? It's slightly, like you said, Brian, very confusing.
Obviously not knowing what's coming in the finale. I feel like the only thing missing in this episode was the costume reveal. Everything else could have been the end of a season one. They had and I say this lovingly, they had the Marvel Studios trademark of moving through the story to wrap it up a bit quickly at the end. Everything about this episode felt like it was trying to wrap up the show. It revealed her logo through her broken necklace, which I thought was really cool. I thought that was really neat because they called out the necklace in episode one as well. We're going to get the logo there. We got the vest in episode four. Like, they're piecing the costume together one piece at a time. The only thing missing for me was the costume reveal, because everything else, it feels like it's setting up for a season two. Either A, we're going to wrap up again way too quickly and get rid of Kamran in one episode, or we're going to keep going and Kamran's going to be our main antagonist in season two, which we assume we're getting. We don't know that for sure. But either A, they're going to wrap that story up too quickly, because Kamran's not going to be the villain in the Marvels. Like, that's simply not going to happen. The Marvels is going to have a much bigger storyline to it. So either A, we're going to wrap up Kamran too quickly, or B, he's already our season two villain. So why did we do what we did in episode five? That's kind of my complaint, and I would love to hear any rebuttals to that.
I think we're going to get Monica next week.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's going to be till a post-credit scene, personally. You think she's going to be in the whole episode?
Yeah, kind of.
Mm.
Maybe not the whole episode.
Not the whole, yeah, towards
like
the end.
But like the back half, maybe the final 20, 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Alex says the power of the Nord dimension went in him. It was the same color as the tear. That's probably why he doesn't know she is gone. I think she sacrificed herself to close it. So, Alex, do you believe in a full change of heart in Najma here? He says, I also don't see Kamran as a villain. I think they will deviate from the comics. I think that that's fair. He doesn't want to be a villain. He was willing to put himself on the line for Kamala. I don't see that changing unless he's being infected by something, which we've done a lot of infecting mm-hmm. people through things recently. So just simple observation, nothing more than that. So Kevin, do you think we're going to get Brie Larson or Tiana Paris or both?
I feel stronger about Monica. Yeah. I'm very torn.
Recruiting for S.W.O.R.D., basically?
I think just being there as S.W.O.R.D., not necessarily recruiting, but seeing that Department of Damage Control is way overstepping their bounds in what they're doing and such. So
Alex sees a full change of heart for Najma.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
I could see Monica in it. I can also see her as a post-credit. Carol, like, I think if Carol shows up, it would be a post-credit, but it won't be her and Kamala meeting. I think that'll be saved for the Marvels if they do. I think based on the trajectory going, because I feel like their first meeting is pretty in the comics is pretty monumentous, because obviously she takes the Miss Marvel name because Carol had that name previously, but obviously Carol did not go by Miss Marvel.
And it's super momentous in Kamala's life, if nothing else.
Right, yeah. So I think that's why, yeah, if we do get to put another post-credit in this one and we see Carol, I don't think they're going to meet. I think it's just going to be maybe her being alerted to Kamala, maybe Monica or tells her, but again, there's that beef between the two of them that we know from WandaVision.
I do not want to see Monica and Carol on the screen at the same time in this show. I want to spend 14 years just on that relationship and why it's gone sour.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we get somebody else appearing in the final episode. I don't know. I'm open.
You're seeing it almost as like a post episode one post credit scene where Damage Control has alerted the existence of Kamala Khan. Basically, somebody's just showing a TikTok to Carol Danvers.
Sure. Yeah. Or something like, or whatever she does in the final episode, whatever they record of her doing. Yeah. I don't know, but I'm open to whatever, and I'm excited to see who or what shows up.
It's cool to me that Kamala's powers are so different than Carol's, and it's pretty obvious how different they are, even though they can look a little bit similar. But the things that Kamala can do are so different than what Carol can do that it gives each of them something to do, and we don't even know what Monica's capable of, even though we've seen just a small, mm-hmm. minuscule amount. Ryan, what are your expectations for the finale this week?
I think I had said this to you all in a chat a couple of weeks ago, but my thought on the finale is that Monica is going to definitely show up. You know, Karen and I just said it as well, but not so much just because of Damage Control. I think she will be alerted to it because of Damage Control, but I think the motivation for her getting there may be because of the Nord dimension opening, and her powers are associated with light and the spectrums of light and things like that. So I'm wondering if they are going to have some kind of effect on her, whether it's her feeling it or her being able to see something with the dimension because of her powers. So I think that may be the motivation to jump into this.
There was also a lot of like speculation between the bangle and the 10 rings, and the 10 rings alerted Carol. No? So it could be.
Yeah,
I didn't necessarily alert Carol, but she was at least investigating what the they alerted Wong, and they were helping Wong investigate.
Oh my gosh, Wong comes in here,
phase of Wong, baby,
Agent Coulson, baby.
Yes, I love
spinoff Wong. Agents of Wong after this. Agent Shields over, Agents of Wong.
Kara, any theories on the finale and why they moved this episode too quickly to wrap it up for some reason?
Yeah, well, my theories would be that Monica and or something bigger comes next week and that it's alerted through the bangle.
Fair enough. It'd be friggin' dope if Shang-Chi showed up. Kevin.
I sort of said my piece on it. I mean, I agree with you, Brian. The pacing in the second half, it definitely felt like things were just rushed through. And like you said, if we had gotten the costume reveal, I would have said last week was the finale. Honestly, when they closed the Nor dimension, I think the screen went black for a second, and I thought that was like the end of the episode, and I was like, okay, we just ended the series. And then I definitely felt the whole Bruno Kamran part, that felt like a post-credit. It felt very weird tacked on to the actual episode. Like, that felt like a post-credit. Like, it should have been a post-credit scene or mid-credits that they do on Disney Plus. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, she's coming back to Jersey City, so we're hopefully going to see the family again. We're going to see some stuff with Nakia. Hopefully, then, I'm hoping that it's her just going up against damage control to help Kamran, like, and that they're not actually being adversary against each other. Like, I hope, hopefully, she's, like, helping him and trying to protect him and such. And so, yeah, and then if we get Monica and Sword, sure, but I don't know. I'm excited.
I'm not fully here for damage control just filling the Agents of Hydra void. Like, I want damage control to at least have a reason for what they're doing other than just being a dirty government agency. Having Stark Tech obviously will give you the ability to do a lot of different things. It's actually a cool way to use those Edith drones. But I need somebody good in damage control. And if it weren't for the Falcon and Winter Soldier, I would very much say that Sharon Carter could fill that role. Now, obviously, that is no longer the case. So I need somebody within damage control to have a heart at the very minimum, because nobody we've seen has that heart yet. So if we are spending time with damage control, I hope we get at least somebody who is worth a darn. So thank you so much for tuning in to Earth's Mightiest Weirdos. We will be back next Monday to talk all about the finale of Ms. Marvel. And then the following week, again, talking about the state of the MCU after Comic-Con. Kevin, anything left to plug?
Nope. Just follow us on social media and please watch the Earth's Mightiest Minutes when we do them every week. It's a fun little way to get little bite-sized news stuff. Nothing overtly spoilery in those. So feel free to check them out when they do come out.
Ryan, Agents of Field.
Yeah, so last week we did a podcast on the NBA offseason to date, including the draft and free agency.
We Wednesday beat that one down, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Wednesday, we'll be going at it again. I'll be joined by three other guests who have never been on the show before, but are big hockey fans, and we're going to do the same thing for the NHL, and it's going to be a doozy. Could be a six-hour podcast. Who knows?
I was going to say, I'm not there to legislate this one going for 4 hours.
So, yeah, we're really excited for that. It'll be out on Thursday morning. Check it out wherever you get podcasts.
Kara, Nerdy Girls After Dark.
Yeah, we've been having some fun over at Nerdy Girls After Dark. Our most recent episode, we do some Q&As, and we discuss Batman versus Kim Possible, and apparently I'm making a lot of people mad. So if you're interested in what our answers are, go check that out.
But you're just wrong. Like, Kim Possible is not better than Batman. No.
You were wrong. It was Batman all the way. Yeah. I can't believe you swayed Sarah. I can't believe you swayed her. She was going with Batman, and then you swayed her. And I was like, no.
So weird.
Well, so we are correct. Kim Possible would win. Anyways, Thursdays at 8:30, come join us. If you feel very strongly about things, come check out the comments and plead your case.
Alex has been keeping us in line in the comics comments tonight. Comics and Cinema Podcast on Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. Alex and Anthony, anywhere you find your podcast, it is already released. They will be dropping the episode tomorrow talking about Thor Love and Thunder. If you have seen Thor Love and Thunder, check out Earth's Mightiest Weirdos anywhere you get your podcast, or on the Nerd Life Network. It is available as well. Kara, call me, beat me if you want to reach me. Kevin, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, for the children.
Earth's Mightiest Weirdos is brought to you by Pinch of Pixie Dust Travel. People who love travel understand that life isn't about the breaths you take, it's about the moments that take your breath away. That's why we help coordinate the most magical adventures for you and your family. Disney, Universal, Sandals, Norwegian, Carnival, and more, we are a full-service concierge travel agency that will help with every aspect of your journey. Let us take care of the details while you enjoy your family. Get a quote today by calling us at 570-832-7798 or fill out a trip request form at pinchofpixiedusttravel.com. Just follow the second star to the right straight on to your adventure. That's pinchofpixiedusttravel.com, where you're making memories one trip at a time.